invite you to turn to Genesis 3. Pretty familiar passage. Wow, it is a sad and heartbreaking passage, followed by even more sad and even more heartbreaking, I think, in how sin was brought into the world through the serpent Adam and Eve, and then the way they handled that sin. Genesis chapter 3, let's read all the way to verse 12, and then go into confession. And certainly every time we go to confession, we want to talk about how God desires us. The Lord Jesus has given us the opportunity to race to Him when we sin, rather than the way Adam and Eve handled their sin at the fall. Let me start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field, than the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree, of any tree in the garden?'" So you see how how Satan goes after Eve here to deceive Eve and to kind of get her to doubt God and doubt God's goodness, maybe doubt God's love. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the tree in the garden. God said, "You shall not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." So a direct lie there from Satan. Certainly he lies to us as well. Verse 5, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is a heartbreaking verse. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes." Let me stop just 1 second. She was living by sight rather than by faith, wasn't she? Instead of living by faith and not by sight, she saw it was good. She didn't trust God. She trusted her own senses. And then look what happens. "And that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So Adam did not protect his wife, and then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Look how they handle the sin then. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So they hid instead of racing to God. They hid from him, tempting possibly for us as well. "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I have heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?'" And then verse 12, if verse 6 is heartbreaking, verse 12, think about his response here, where he has chance to confess his sin. Listen to what he does. "The man said, 'The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate.'" You see the progression of sin. He sins and then they hide from God next. Instead of going to him, they go away from him, and then they blame shift. Blaming God, blaming the woman. The woman blames the serpent. You know, a few decades later, if you turn one page, chapter 4, Cain and Abel, God telling Cain, verse 7, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." And Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Sin was crouching at Abel's door, and Abel did not go to the Lord to confess it, but instead takes. Look at the progression there. And I want us to go, as we go into confession, to think about this. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Could it be right here in our lives, we have three enemies attacking us? Adam and Eve had one, didn't they? They had Satan. And we know that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour, but we are not unaware of his schemes, are we? We know his schemes, and God is faithful to protect us from the evil one, but we also have the world. Friendship with the world is enemy, enmity toward God, James 4:4. And then we have our heart. It's deceitful above all things. It's desperately sick. We have a desperately sick heart. So if we don't know the Lord Jesus, if you don't know the Lord Jesus today, deal with that desperately sick heart. You need a Savior. And Christ is reaching out to you with great love, calling to yourself. So as you go before the Lord, call out to him. Don't hide from him. And don't blame shift your sin. Confess it. And then for those of us who know Christ, could we think about the sins that we may be trying to hide from the Lord Jesus? Instead of running toward him, maybe we've hid. Or maybe we're blame shifting. Maybe it's sin that we're trying to blame on our spouse or on our children or maybe on our parents or on our roommate or on somebody else, just so that we don't have to face it, take ownership of it, and confess it. Adam and Eve fell to this. I believe we could fall to it often. Let me give you a minute to sharpen the sword of the Spirit. God's word, this book of the law should not depart from our mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Observe to do according to all that's written there, and then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Let that sword that the Lord has given you through Scripture do business on your sin. The Lord will do surgery on your heart through God's word. Confess it to him. Run to him instead of away from him. Let me give you a minute to pray and I'll close this. Gracious Father, the gospel is an incredible gift and what an incredible work that our Lord Jesus has done for us so that we do not have to hide from you, that we can race to you instead of away from you, that we can confess our sins because you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, certainly we are expert blame shifters where it's our temptation, I imagine, like Adam and Eve, to blame someone else rather than to take the responsibility to own our own sin. But thank you that through the gospel, the Lord Jesus has given us this opportunity and this command to confess that sin to you, to bathe in your forgiveness and your love and your grace, even as we sang. And in your goodness. And so, Lord, we are so grateful that you have separated these sins as far as the east is from the west, that you've washed them whiter than snow, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but that we can bring these sins that we have possibly hidden from you or we have been blame-shifting and put thinking that others may be the cause of our sin. So Lord, today we pray that as sin often crouches at our door, that we would look to you for that grace and forgiveness and to trust you that you have done that work on the cross that we couldn't have done. And we're so grateful for the gospel and for our Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen.